I'm Pastor Kent. Leslie and I will be leaving. We have to go back to the USA for some time. That means at least 12 months and possibly a year and a half to be able to raise new support to come back to Europe. This is probably our last, my last opportunity to really speak in terms of like, you know, a message-y kind of thing. And on the 8th will be our last service here, and we'll speak, but that'll be just more of a personal thing, you know. But today, not that it's not personal, but today we're going to be speaking about something that's really close to my heart, and you probably got a drift of it a little bit already. It's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when you're thinking, you have two opportunities to speak, and I used one up 2 weeks ago, and then today's the last one, like I said, to really get to preach, is like, what are you going to talk about, right? What is it that's important that you feel the church needs to hear? And usually we spend a whole month on the Holy Spirit. Why? Because so many of you come and you come from different cultures and backgrounds and you say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. People go, boogie, 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 you know? And you get scared. And you're like, well, we've heard about people barking like dogs and flopping around on the floor like a fish. And really? Okay. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit doesn't like to make us look stupid nor foolish. The Holy Spirit is a power, he can baptize us with power to flow through our lives to be the people of God on this earth that he wants us to be until we see him face to face. How many believe Jesus is coming back? I hope you do, because that's in the Bible. And and he will. And he'll come back. And he's coming back for a bride, a spotless bride. But until then, he's called us to something greater than ourselves. He's called us to be his witness, his example. And I know that's a big ticket, hard shoes to fill. But apart from the Holy Spirit, I don't think it's going to happen very well. And the Holy Spirit can empower us with supernatural gifting. That's when we say, let it rain. Lord, flood us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Flood us with something that's greater than ourselves that we can, when we talk to people, that the power in our words begins to penetrate their heart. You know what I mean? That really begins to melt. I was talking to Minnow and Jessica. I don't know if you met them, but I remember the other night, Minnow and Jessica were sitting there talking, and Minnow said, you know, it was when you were speaking at my church in North Amsterdam, he said, that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. I didn't know that. I'm like, that, you know how much that blessed me to hear that? And if you know me, you know when someone gets saved, comes to Jesus, really is born again, I'm like, yeah, that excites me. And I'm telling you right now, my words were probably like, yeah, Jesus loves you. You know, I mean, it was probably like, you know, but the Holy Spirit did something in his heart that day. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do. It could take Mr. and Mrs. Average, us, and use us in a supernatural way that goes way beyond our own ability. And that's what's so cool about the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is here. The kingdom of God is amongst us in power. You know, we read through the book of Acts, a very good book. We could see proofs of what Jesus had promised to his people, to his followers, right? And it's not just for his disciples, it's for all who will call Jesus Lord. Hope you understand that. It didn't pass away like Jesus ran out of energy, you know, or that God said, no, it's just for a select few, my favorite people. No, he says it's for your sons and your daughters. For all of them that are far off, for all generations. You heard me say that earlier. So it's for us. And when Jesus went to heaven, he didn't leave us alone. He said, I go that I send, another may come, a comforter, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not an it. He's not a substance. He's more than power. That's what he provides. But he is a personality of God. He's as much God as Jesus is. He's as much God as God is. The Holy Spirit is God. So to say, oh, that Holy Spirit stuff, that's like saying, God, you're creepy. It's not a good thing. The Holy Spirit is all God. And anything that God wants to do in our life is not scary, is not weird. God only gives his kids good gifts, and we're his children, and we're created in his image. God doesn't give us a snake. God gives us a blessing. And that's how he thinks, that's how he works. So the kingdom of God has come and is come with great power. There's a verse in Corinthians, and it was Paul talking. You know, this Paul guy, that's, you know, Damascus Road. If you've been here, you know about a road map over here. Paul encountered God, encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road supernaturally. He had a real experience with Christ. We all need that. And Paul was a student. He was studying to be a Pharisee. He had studied under the finest religious teachers. He was the cream of the crop, as they say, in a very religious way. But then he found Jesus and realized, my religion isn't cutting it, because it's life through Christ that sets me free. And I hope you found that. If you're here and you're religious, I'm sorry. You need a relationship with Jesus. There's no religion apart from him. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, which he was able to, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't you love that? I love that verse. It says, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I've got all this training, all this education. Here's my diplomas. Boom. But you know what? Trash. I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. This is Paul. Paul needed something more than his education. He needed more than head knowledge. He needed something to work through his life to be more effective, and it was the Holy Spirit. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And I think that's the end of it. I love that Paul acknowledges, says, look, I didn't come here to try to impress you. I didn't come to try to show you how smart I am. I came because the one that's smarter than us all has the power to change our life. I came to demonstrate a changed life through the power of God, that the power of God might touch you and your life might be changed, so that you could go out and help with us, the rest of us that are followers of Jesus, change this world. All why? For his kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. Smart guy, but he knew where his limits were. Just Jesus and him crucified. You know, Paul was sold out. Or you may say he was all in. Paul wasn't just a Sunday Christian. Paul was all in. You know? It was his life. Paul would say, you remove this from me, I have nothing. You remove this from me, I'm dead. He was all in. He was sold out for Christ. You know, can you say that about yourself today? I'm all in. This thing is more than a club. This thing is more than something I occasionally do when I feel like it on Sundays. Hello? This is something I do every day of my life. I get up thinking about Jesus. When I see someone, I don't wonder what their job is. I wonder if they know him. You know what I mean? The focus was entirely different. He wasn't impressed by stuff. All he wanted to do was proclaim Christ and him crucified. Because he knew that's where the real life was. That's where the power was. And Paul, you know, he described Abraham's faith and what God had told him about his future. And in Romans 4, he said, yet he did not waver. I don't think it's on the screen. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God because he was fully persuaded. I love that one too. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And you know what? The faith of Abraham to be fully persuaded for the promise that God had given him about his descendants numbering more than the sand, the pieces of sand on the shore. What about the promise of God for the Holy Spirit? He says, Jesus says, I go that my Father may send the promise. You know, he was unwavering because he was sure of what he believed. And I believe God's looking at us today and says, are you sure about the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that that's me? Because the fullness of me is found in him. And if you want all of me, the Holy Spirit is meant for you. It's my promise to you. Abraham, fully persuaded. Are we persuaded that God can do greater things through our life? That the stuff we settle for really is really small compared to the stuff that God says? Where do we stop with that? Where do we believe? Where do we begin to cut the line on our own life and say, not mine, yours, God. Not my ideas, but yours, God. Not my ways, but yours, God. See, there's a key in that verse that I just read a minute ago that unlocks faith and sincere trust in God, that unwavering, fully persuaded faith. You know, because I look at that sometimes, I think to myself, am I fully persuaded? Can I say that like these guys? That I'm just sure. I'm just dead sure. You know? That my life resembles that. That's a strong statement. But I believe it's there for a reason. God always puts stuff in here for a reason. It's not so people like me can try to entertain you with something. It's because God says, this is true for you. I want you to read this like I wrote it only to you. And when we read the Bible, we need to read it like it's written to us and not about some history lesson that happened long ago. But it's real and alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That is for us. You know, I think so often in churches we hear sermons and at the end, if you're in a church like this or been in churches like this, people say, come up and get more God, you know? Come up and get more God. It's always about getting. Maybe we should say, come up and give more to God. You know? Come up and release more of yourself to God. Come up and die to yourself that he might become big in your life. Leave here with a new name. Leave here with a new walk. Leave here with a new purpose and a new way of life, a new way of thinking. You know, I don't want a relationship that makes him serve my choices. I want a relationship that makes me want to serve and obey him. Anyone say amen to that? I want a relationship that God doesn't meet me on my terms. I meet him at his. Fears. Well, wait a minute. I read this quote the other day. I just like it. I don't know how much it fits, but I like it. It says, Christianity without a cost is Christianity without the cross. And Christianity without the cross isn't Christianity at all. A guy named Trevin Wax wrote that. Fears, doubts, religious rules, distrust, you know, running our own life by our own rules, expectations, standards, these all take away from the fullness that God means for us and wants us to live. You know, how many of you ever had a dog? How many of you have cats? Not that I care. I just want to see how many of you have cats. I have a cat. Pearl. Pitiful Pearl. Pitiful Pearl. Het Puss. It's a cool cat. Has a passport, everything. Computer chip, internet. She's been back and forth to USA now about 7 times. Crazy cat. We're crazy. We take her. But dogs, you know, you see people walking them on the leash, right? Hopefully. And picking it up, too, afterwards. But walking them on the leash. And, you know, some dogs are more spirited, and they're constantly yanking back on them. Other dogs are just kind of, you know, the tongue's out, and they're just kind of sitting. But so often with dogs, you know, we have them on a leash. And I think sometimes that's the way we are with God. We kind of keep him on the leash like we're in control. Well, God, come back here. No, too much now, you know? Like we're the master, and he's not. And it's the other way around. That's why when people say, I don't know about the Holy Spirit, I'm like, so we want to keep God on our leash nice and tight where he's comfortable. I see right where he is, and that's right where I want him. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's not the God I know. Yeah. God wants to do things through our life, but we got to let him off the leash. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 says this. This is why, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power, love, and a self-discipline. The NIV says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Some of you that the devil lies to, that says you're nuts, or what, you know what I mean, in so many words, you need to repeat this to him every now and then. Guess what? This is our power verse for next week, for good reasons. This one right here. We'll make it smaller. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. God didn't make us to be squeamish. He called us to be the head, not the tail. Last time I checked, the head's where all the teeth are, where the eyes, the ears, the nose, the brain. You know what's under the tail, right? I'd rather be the head. God's called us to be the head and not the tail. He's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's what God says about us. Not fear. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit, like in Acts 1:8. But you will see power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses across the whole world. It starts right here, but it goes across the whole world. Power for what? He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a boldness to proclaim the cross. Just like Paul, I know nothing but Christ and him crucified. So God's called us to embrace this new life and not to be timid. And Paul says, Timothy, you've got to fan that into a flame. Now that's interesting. Wait a minute, you're saying God does something, and now we have to do something? I thought God did it. Well, you know what? We have to make ourselves available. We have to put ourselves in a place where God goes, good. They believe. They're fully persuaded. I can move through that. He said, you've got to fan that into a flame, Timothy. You've got to pray. You've got to be reading. You've got to be obedient. You have to do what the Word says. You have to be all in. Fan into the flame God's anointing, God's gift. And he compared it to a fire that was a special power for his ministry to take off. How many believe you have a ministry? Okay, you have to answer quick. If you are born again, you have a ministry. Period. Done deal. It's over. No arguments. It's there. The problem is, do we believe it? The problem is, do we act upon it? The problem is, do we use the power of God to fulfill it? God says, that's why you need the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus, you're called. If you're called, then you have something to do. If you've got something to do, then you need his strength to get it done. And that strength is found in the power of the Holy Spirit. When God calls, he anoints. And God anoints for kingdom success. I didn't say your success. God anoints for kingdom success, because that's the bigger job, not the one we have here. Isn't it amazing that we think if our goal, I got a good job now, got enough to eat, great, now what? Kind of empty, huh? Isn't that what 99.9% of the world chases? The better job. And once you get that job, you got to have a better one, because you got more stuff to get. More recognition, more power, more fame, more friends, and high places, of course. You know what I mean? I can go to the nicer restaurants now. Great. But death comes, knocks. And it's a great equalizer, isn't it? Rich people die, poor people die. Smart people die, not so smart people die. To be kind. That happens to us all. So what's life worth? Where's the meaning? Apart from, I'm fully persuaded, Paul said. He's all in. First Peter says this. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you are finished with your sin. That's interesting, isn't it? You're finished with your sin. There's something about people that have been through hardship that know what it means to finalize something. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and their lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends, I like the part former. Sometimes they should be former. Friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. Isn't it? It is funny. People are surprised you don't want to do their stuff anymore. So they slander you, of course. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all, they now live forever with God and the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be under discipline in your prayers. There's 20 sermons in that one. People will make fun of us for loving God. And they won't understand. You know why? I think it's called conviction. That's why it's so important for us not to go back to our old ways. Remember one of our memory verses? Old has passed away, new has come. We know Christ. Old has passed away, new has come. People become convicted. I know that from my own life. When my wife became saved, and I definitely wasn't, it was convicting to me, although I couldn't put my finger on it, but it drove me crazy. Because I saw the way she lived and it was right and mine wasn't. And I could feel it, I could sense it, I couldn't put words on it, but it bothered me. Praise God, it bothered me. That's called conviction, and that changes our life. Because then we get to a place we're so uncomfortable where we're at that we want something different. And that's kind of what this is about. All in, wanting something different so much that we don't care. Some of our friends will lose. Some will win. But getting rid of the things the way we used to live. The kingdom of God has come in power. And the kingdom of God is here. Making ourselves available to God is so important. That's why so often when I like to do it. Call me old-fashioned. I don't care. I just know that when at the end of services, when we say, come forward and pray, and people are like, I don't have to go up there. God can touch me where I'm at. Yeah, but the attitude sure stinks. You're just wanting to push God now. You got him on the leash again, don't you? The barking dog. You know, we make ourselves available to God. That's why it's so great. When someone walks up here, if they have a healing need, they want to receive the Holy Spirit, they want to receive Jesus, whatever it is. Making themselves available, that just says volumes to God. God, I don't care what anyone thinks, you know? God, I just care about you and what you're going to do. I come with anticipation, expectation. I know. I'm all in. I'm fully convinced that you can do these things. Therefore, I'm stepping out. See how important that is? Why should we make God hunt for us? When we say, God, remember me? I'm your son. Right here. I need your help. God doesn't turn away from that stuff. That's why it's so important that we do those things. You know, you'll notice a parallel between the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus and the disciples. It said the Spirit descended on them after they had prayed. Look at the upper room experience. They were all together. They've been praying constantly. They were all together in unity, in one accord, and the Holy Spirit came. There were observable manifestations or proofs of the Spirit. They all began to speak in tongues. And that's not weird either. An unknown tongue, a divine language that God puts on in you. The Bible says, you know what? When you run out of English words or whatever you speak, when you run out of things to pray, the Bible says you can pray in this unknown tongue. It's a perfect prayer. You can pray with groanings that only the Spirit understands. You can pray in ways that reach God's heart when you're too tired to pray. Both the ministries of Jesus and disciples began after the Spirit came upon them. You can read about this. They made themselves available, open to the power, and the power of God was evidenced in supernatural ways. Boldness, tongues, their ministries were powerfully launched. Like I said earlier, 3,000 got saved that day because of the difference. Two life-changing experiences that happened in my life that, to me, were turning points. Totally turning points. Pivotal for me. And I know what God's done for me, He does for anyone. My conversion experience with Jesus, which, by the way, also included water baptism. Those of you that are going to be water baptized, we're having a short meeting right after church, right? If you haven't signed up and you're interested, you come. We'll meet next door, probably over here for just a short time and talk about that. So 15 minutes after the service is over, okay? Do that. So my conversion experience and then receiving the baptism and the Holy Spirit with fire. Those two things I cannot say enough about for transforming my life. And believe me, I needed a lot of transforming. I know that's hard to believe, but I did. I still do. But I mean, those were impacting pivotal points in my life. And I'm telling you what, if you aren't born again, number one, first experience, that's base one, okay? But the Holy Spirit, you know, if you've been filled and you leaked and you need more, God always has more. That's never an issue for God if you're sincere and want to be used by Him, you know what I mean, for His glory. Or maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're one of those that said, well, I've asked, but God has chosen not to. No. I don't believe that at all. If you're born again, God says this is for your children, for all them. You look in the upper room, even the few got baptized the Holy Spirit. They all were. God doesn't select the, you know, I like this one better than that one. That's not the way He works. I'm telling you, if God wants to baptize you, He will, and He does. We make ourselves available, and He does baptizing. You know, when I'm dead and gone, I love Leonard Ravenhill's epitaph. He says, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? It's on his tombstone. He's still preaching from his deathbed. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? I want to be known, these things be known about me. I want people to say he really loved God and took him at his word. I want to hear he loved enough to reach others for Jesus Christ. I want to hear he wasn't ashamed to tell others about the good news of the cross. I want to hear he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit and lived his life in anticipation of greater things from a great God. That's what I want to hear. You know? Those are the things to me that are valuable, that matter. In a minute, we're going to pray. for those of you that would like to receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. I don't know. We'll talk about that too. I mean, when we are up here praying, whatever it is, you just come, okay? Make yourself available. But when you come, it requires total surrender, allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He wants in your life. Not what you limit Him to do, but what you're willing to let Him do. He wants it all. To let Him off that leash and embrace everything that He has for you. Embrace like life itself. First Thessalonians 5:19 says this. It's a bit of a warning. It says, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. The Bible says, it also talks about belittling prophecies, basically about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. We can't reject, we can't hinder, we shouldn't suppress or mock or devalue the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They're important. One of the things I've always wanted is a word of knowledge. I've always wanted to be able to go up to someone in a bar and have God reveal to me the things going on in their life. And be able to just a cold turkey go up and say, is this what's happening? Boom, boom. Why? Because when God begins to work like that in supernatural ways, people pay attention. Causes them to rethink who they are and who God is. If you want to know more about the gifts, you can find them in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit is not a substitute for our personal responsibility to pray, study, our personal investment, or our relationship with Christ. It's not a substitute. Nor is He, the Holy Spirit, a cover-up for our unrepented sins or our laziness. No. He's the fuel, but we're the car. We have to turn the key. God has never changed, and His promises do not change. And the kingdom of God has come, and has come with power. I'm going to say these three things about what we're about to do. And you can decide if you want to be part of that. Maybe you want the Holy Spirit to fill and empower you, but you need to take care of the sin and laziness issue. Okay? Maybe that's holding you back. Not feeling good enough. Or maybe it's just being a couch potato for God. I don't know. Maybe it's laziness. Or maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you've, like that one verse, you've had enough of the old things. You know? Just had enough. You don't care if anyone makes fun of you anymore for loving Christ. Or maybe you've never experienced the fire that God talks about. And you want it. Which you should. Or three, you've already experienced the Holy Spirit touch in your life. But you feel empty. Maybe you just need to surrender more to Him and have Him fill you more completely. Because you're anxious to do the will of God. You know, that's kind of what this is about, really. It's not getting something so all of a sudden you're this better Christian. But it's to be able to do the will of God better. It's about building His kingdom, right? It's time to let Him off the leash. Just say, God, sorry, I've been keeping you at bay. And now I need to experience everything you've got for me. I'm going to let you be in control of my life. I want you to stand. And we're just going to pray. If you remember those things, maybe there's something else. That's cool too. But remember, making yourself available allows God to do something in you. Okay? Father, I just thank You right now for everybody in this room. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Holy Spirit, begin to speak to our hearts and lives about the fullness that You want us to move in and walk in. You want to clothe us with power from on high. You want to baptize us with fire. Father, we have people next week that are going to get baptized in water, but today, Father, you're going to baptize with fire. And Father, it's not about how long we've been a believer. It's about believing that this is for me, that it's for everyone. And Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity just to do more for you. Father, begin a ministry today through our lives in a way we never thought possible. Anoint us and fill us, God. Thank you, Lord. Would you come? Let those of us up here pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.